Okay, let's pray.
Father in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you this day. We ask that you would shake off whatever slumber we have or concerns of the world, that we would be able to focus upon you this morning. Delight in your rest that you provide to us, and bring us your word. Open our ears and our eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm really going to shoot for giving us time to work on this. We really need to try and get started earlier if we can, but it is what it is. So I'm going to go through this very quickly because I really think it's important to try and practice some of the things that I'm going to talk about today. Just to remember, what we're talking about here is a process of counseling that deals with people not as we think that they fit into our patterns, but as they are, and to bringing people to God's Word, where He understands them, and we don't claim to be gurus, but we're simply ambassadors of Christ. We already talked about the important aspect of loving a person so that our agenda is one of trying to help them with God's Word, and not one of something like we're better than them, but that we truly love them. And in these last two, we've been talking about how we get to know them. Now, what we're going to be talking about here is a process of organizing information that will be more disciplined in terms of an approach to things, to where we're actually taking the time to organize the information that we get from them. I was thinking about this, and it actually corresponds to the way husband-wife interactions kind of occur sometimes. You know, I don't know, for those of us who are in that situation, we have these conversations where the past, the present, how I felt about things, all these facts kind of jumble together into a mess sometimes in conversations, and they make communications very difficult. And those of us who have been around for years, imagine then people that we're just kind of interacting with, and a bunch of data is just flowing at us, and something that has to do with this over here and here and all this other stuff. There's facts, there's feelings, there's what my dad said to me when I was a kid, and all this other stuff. And we need to take the time, I think he makes a good point in this, to prepare ourselves for counseling people, and not just think, well, you know, there's all these other things in life that require all sorts of preparation, you know, like surgery and all of these, and I want to get a good night's rest for work, and I don't just go and wing it when I'm briefing somebody or whatever it is. But you know what? A person's life and their problems, yeah, I'll just do that off the cuff. That doesn't require any preparation at all. What are you talking about? I mean, somebody comes to me with a problem, I get 30 seconds, I got it figured out, I'm telling them what to do in the situation, because we tend to think, especially about spiritual theological things, as things that I think that we should just have a natural knack for, that somehow a flash of insight. But that is not the way things work, and even our lives should testify to the fact that it's not that simple, which is, oh, by the way, by why nobody goes to people in the church, because they act like that. They say, well, we'll just pray about it. And that's, I'm not trying to demean the power of prayer in that regard, but I'm also saying that we're sloppy and lazy in how we do this. When I say we, okay, don't think, well, I'm pointing right at you. I'm saying we need to start thinking about how we would organize information biblically as people come to us. The hooks that he talks about here, in, you can see it around page 90, 91, have to do with the situation, responses, thoughts, and motives. And so as you're talking to a person, the goal here will be to try and start organizing information to like kind of categories, so that you can kind of get a sense of what you're going to, how you are going to handle the situation, or bring God's word to bear on the situation. Remember that it's not as easy as the situation is somehow people say, well, the reason I'm upset is because I'm in the situation you're in. And we know that's not true, because the same situation causes different responses depending on the person, right? One person's caught in traffic and he's cursing the people out. Another person's caught in traffic and he's like just chilling out, like doing other kinds of things. And all sorts of situations have to do with, you know, our situations are different in terms of the historical background that we have, in terms of our families, in terms of the present, the relationships that we have, and all sorts of other things. Our responses to things are going to be different. And we have, and then we have different thoughts about how, what we think is going on in our lives. And then we have different desires. And I think the important thing to remember this is that what we're driving at is the heart, because the heart is the root of the problem. And we're trying to get to some of those things and not focus on sometimes in the present what we think the problem is, even for ourselves or with other people, personal want that fixed. What we're trying to drive at is, what are those heart motives that people are going after that are really at the root of these situations? Now, certainly there are things that are caused in people's lives that are, you know, that they don't always have control over. I'm trying to get you guys to think about the way we organize information. We're going to go ahead and practice through this. But I want to give, and I think he gives a helpful example in terms of Numbers chapter 11. And the reason I want to do this is because I think it's a good example of how we would maybe be on the I don't know if you guys run into this problem. Maybe you don't. But do you ever think, like, it's so obvious that the Israelites should have just been able to know that this is really screwed up the way they're looking at the whole situation? I mean, it's so obvious to us, like, dude, there's a cloud of fire in there.
Smoke.
Quit complaining about the manna, you know? But we would do the same thing, I'm convinced. We have the same reactions to things. And I think the way that he draws this out in terms of Numbers chapter 11, and this is, for those of you who don't know the story, it's basically they've been getting manna from heaven, and this is a good gift from God, and they're kind of starting to get tired of this because they're getting tired of eating manna every day. And I think those of us who have kids that say, I don't like it, you know, are just like, our kids in India starving right now, you know. chapter 11, and the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes, and when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of that place was called Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them. Now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving, and the people of Israel also wept again and said, oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. Now the manna was like coriander seed, and its appearance like that of delium. The people went about and gathered it, and around it, gathered it and ground it in handmills, or beat it in mortars and boiled it in pots and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell with it. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their clans, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord blazed hotly, and Moses was displeased. Moses said to the Lord, why have you dealt ill with your servant, and why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burden of all this people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give them birth that you should say to me, carry them in your bosom as a nurse carries a nursing child to the land that you swore to give their fathers? Where am I to get this meat to give all this people? For they weep before me and say, give us meat that we may eat. I am not able to carry all this people alone. The burden is too heavy for me. If you will treat me like this, kill me at once, if I find favor in your sight, that I may not see my wretchedness. So, you know, I guess I started thinking about this. We have, and I don't want to read the whole thing, but you guys get the picture. You've heard the story, right? I think it's really easy sometimes in the external to think, well, it's so obvious, the situation should, you should understand the situation. But it's like the people of Israel, all they know is we can almost see it. Like we know the story, so we're like, come on, guys. No, don't be doing this, because things are going to go really bad if you keep complaining to the Lord. It's really a blessing that you're receiving manna, but that's not how they perceive the situation, right? This is how they see things. It's all distorted. And in fact, it's almost like you ever run into people, I mean, you see it all the time with young people who are falling in love and stuff like that. You know it's going to go bad, but no matter what you say, you can kind of see that things are going to be all messed up. But no, it was so much better in Egypt when we had the leeks. It's like, you were slaves. And if they were back, and they were back in there, they're like, this is horrible. What were you thinking? So much for cucumbers and leeks and stuff like that, but that's how we are. We're like, we want something, and then when we get it, it's really horrible, and so we don't see the situation as it is, right? And nor does Moses see it as it is. He's like, he's got a distorted view of God. He's like, oh, this is so heavy. Why are these people all my burden and everything? And so you can see different layers of problems in terms of how they see this, what their hearts are desiring out of this and everything else. And so it's a useful thing to help us to see, not merely in the sense of, oh, well, let me clinically look on the outside in and say, I know what your problem is, but to see that the problem is very difficult, and we have to kind of get in there and work through these things and categorize it to help people with this. Because it's not going to be as easy as coming in and saying, oh, well, your problem is that you're attracted to an unbeliever. And clearly the word of God says that, you know, you're not supposed to be unequally yoked. And the person's going to go, thank you so much. I just needed somebody to give me advice, and now I'm fine. You know, it doesn't work that way. I mean, if it was, then their parents wouldn't be maybe coming to you and saying, can you help me with this person? Because I can't seem to talk sense into them, you know? And we're not about trying to talk sense into people. We're trying to bring the word of God to that. And so what I want to do now, and that was kind of like a Reader's Digest version, because I really want to give you as much time as possible, but I will entertain questions, but I want us to, an opportunity to use the tool. And if you want to refer to that, just go to page 91, and I want you to break this hypothetical of Sharon, who's approached you, and you guys split up into small groups and work on this. But break it up into the situation and the response, the responses. Situation would be like what happened, past, present, you know, etc. Any kind of relationship issues, etc. You know, any kind of things in terms of how he or she or whoever responded to things that happened. Thoughts, how do they feel about those sorts of things, or what did they think about what is going on, and then what the person wants. And so use the situation as that grid, or as a hypothetical, and use these to kind of categorize the information. Does that make sense? And so work together to kind of bin them for right now. And then, you know, that's basically the point of this section, is to try and help us to think about how we would handle these situations, maybe a tool, and then we're going to apply what we learn from that the next time we meet. Are there any questions?
So is the intent of using the tool, like, is this something you're supposed to kind of know? This is a way to systematically organize what you know about a particular person?
Or yeah, you would. I think what you would be doing in this in real life situations, you wouldn't be given a hypothetical all written out, but this is a way for you to start categorizing. The last time that we talked about was to ask questions.
Right.
And you're asking kind of those questions that have to do with maybe a hallway and seeing the big picture of the person's thing in terms of the kinds of questions, and then you're delving into the specifics and trying to ask leading questions to get at those. But these are the kinds of bins that you want to start leading, maybe leading questions out to try and flesh out the situation, the thoughts, the motives, etc. And so in this case, it's all presented for you. In real life, you're gonna be having to ask those questions. And the point is, you're trying to get the You gotta start with the love, and gotta show people that you're the kind of person that's all messed up too, and working through the word to kind of help you through that process. And so they see, okay, you're a safe person to talk to open up to, and this person really cares about me, and I'm gonna be willing to expose myself and answer these questions, and to to do this. And the point is that we're going to be using this information then to help us in the next phase about how we're going to apply the Word of God to maybe those heart issues. Does that make sense?
Rich, are we supposed to use the scenario on the top of page 90?
The scenario is on page... 90. I'm sorry, the scenario is on page 95. It's called an opportunity to use the tool. It's a case study about Sharon. There is a case study at the beginning, which you're welcome to do maybe later on when you get home. Here, I think we only have time to do this. This one's more big. This one's longer, so it gives us more opportunity. The other one doesn't give us much information to kind of practice that.
But we use a framework that starts on page 90.
Yeah. And so you can kind of just draw in your book, maybe on the other page.
An experience that we had just this week really laid out this whole love, no, speak, do for us. And because what we usually do is when it comes to the situation, we assume. We assume we know everything about the situation. We assume we know what the problem is. And so then we jump to what we think the heart issue is. And we're just very judgmental. And we don't take time to get into each other's lives or to dig deep or to find out. There's this little boy who's Ilona's age. They live in our neighborhood. I chaperoned a field trip for them when they were both in like fourth grade. Nice little boy. Now they're both in seventh grade. And Ilona, for about the last week or two, I'd see him walking down the street and I'd point him out and she'd say, he's really changed. He's just become a very mean person. He's very angry. He's got those giant holes in his ears. And he's seventh grade and he's already putting those gauges in his ears. And he said, he's not very nice anymore. And it just, you know, it's just easy to quickly assume, oh, see, these kids, they don't have Christian values and they just go off the deep end. And, we just found out from another friend in the neighborhood who's good friends with his mom that she was pregnant. It turns out the baby wasn't his dad's. It was a man across the street. Mm. And she and this man across the street have taken their combined three or four youngest kids and taken off. And so this boy is living all alone with his father now. And I mean, his world is upside down at best.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and all we ever see is a 12-year-old boy with holes in his ears who's disrespectful to his teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And we think, well, I know what his problem is. He just needs a smack. And we don't get deeper. We never go deeper. And so, I mean, the situation, like Rich is saying, and like they're saying in this book, it's far more than this current situation. The situation is, what's the situation of the past? What are the what are the physical things that contribute to this situation? And it's not just what's now, but what's happened in the past as well. Mm. And we just don't find those out without sitting down and asking these kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll get to this real quick, but the point is we need to ask ourselves, are people worth the effort? And so if everything else that we do is worth the effort, are human beings created in the image of God worth the effort? And so let's think about that and get to work on this. But we'll continue to develop this as we kind of continue. We're not done with just situation, all this other stuff. We're going to go further here, but we still need to practice on this part. And practice is one of those things where, like anything else, you know, you don't learn to shoot on the rifle range once and then you're done. You keep practicing this, and so we need to kind of keep our skills up on this if we hope to do this. Okay, let's do it.